Take your Bibles and remain standing. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I'll read verse 6. You'll join me on verse 7, and we'll alternate through verse 11 that way. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. All right. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for the privilege of the Word of God. Lord, there are places in our world that would just give virtually anything they had for one copy, and yet most every person in this room has many copies. I pray that you just help us today as we preach. Open our hearts, open our minds, and may our spirit listen today as well as our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I have been in the ministry 26 years, been preaching, starting my 36th year of preaching, finished 35 years last week. Let me say this as kindly as I know how. Our world has changed an awful lot. It has changed an awful lot. 30 years ago, this type of preaching would not have been unusual. Today, you'll call it hard preaching. And I plan on, as my former pastor, Brother Hiles, used to say, I'm going to throw a fit today, amen. I'm going to preach a little hard today. I'm not going to preach necessarily at you. I plan on kicking the devil, amen. I don't know about you. He makes me ticked off. One of the happiest days in universal history is going to be the day that God sends him to hell for the last time. I couldn't be happier. I get sick at what the devil and sin has done to our world. You say, well, I don't think you ought to say some of the things you're going to say. You don't even know what they are yet, but I do. Then don't say them, but somebody's got to say it. You know, it used to be preachers had a backbone. They didn't have a bathrobe string for a backbone. I've got a backbone. My daddy taught me a long time ago, if it's true, son, you better stand and stand hard. So we're going to stand and stand hard. I'll give you the sermon title so you don't have to worry. It's called No More Wimpy Christians. No More Wimpy Christians. I am sick and tired of the devil beating so many Christians down. I'm just going to say it. It seems like the more the devil fights us these days, the more Christians give in to him. Hang on. You see, the problem today is not that there's so much more evil than there ever was. The problem today is that Christians are giving up and letting the devil have his way. I don't know about you, but I refuse to give in to the devil. I'm not one of those people that just gives in. Amen, Brother Ed. We were up against it yesterday in the basement of that church, and Brother Ed and I were standing there, and I said, God, help us. And all of a sudden, I walked around, and I said, Brother Ed, I think I got an idea. He said, what? I said, might be crazy. We looked at it. He said, preacher, that's what I've been looking for this whole time. That's it. Let's go. He said, what happened? We made it happen. I was watching Brother Barnes. He's carrying laminated boards, 2x6s. There was about 400 pounds on them things. He's got them on his shoulder walking down the steps down this basement. You can't stand up in the basement straight. These guys that are walking like this today, it's because that's how we were for about 8 hours yesterday. And here he is carrying, we're carrying concrete block. We're making something happen. We're falling through the floor because it's so rotten. We're falling through. Well, we weren't. Brother Barnes was. He had too much of him. we weren't going to let it stop us. Amen. I do have to say this. It was funny. Brother Hawkins was cutting the flooring with his skill saw, and he got one side done. He's cutting the other side, almost done, and I'm tapping him. He looks up. I said, "Brother Ed, you're standing on what you're cutting on. You're about to fall through." So he lets go of the trigger on his skill saw. And just about the time the skill saw was just about slowed down, boom, he went through. He said, "I thought you said I was just about to." I said, "You are. Now you're through." Oh, it was funny. We laughed and laughed. Fortunately, he didn't hurt himself. Oh, God protected us, let me tell you. But can I tell you something? I watched Neil and Malachi and Brother Gus and my dad and Brother Joe and others that were out there. Man, they carried concrete block and laid block all day long yesterday outside in that heat. And I'm not talking, that's not little work. That's big job stuff. I watched Brother Wiley and his dad. His dad, man, he carrying cinder blocks up and down the steps and boards and you name it. That poor fella, he worked and worked hard. Now, Wiley didn't. He just sat there and laughed at everybody else working. But he worked hard at watching us work. But no, Brother Wiley was working just as hard as everybody else. Can I tell you something? Christians today act like they have to be in hiding to exist. I hate to tell you something. I'm not hiding from anybody. I'm not afraid of the devil or his crowd. They ought to be afraid of us. I'm not worried what the devil's going to throw my way. You see, we don't need to back off and let the devil have his way. We need to stand up and live for God. You say, "Well, I'm just so sick and tired of what's going on in politics, and it seems like we're going such a bad direction." I'll tell you why we're going a bad direction, because nobody's got the backbone to stand up and say, "Quit doing that, let's go the right direction." Nobody is stopping the wrong direction today. We live in a society that is what I call a wimpy generation. You see, Christians need to quit acting like the conservative politicians of our day. And, well, we're afraid to draw attention to ourselves. We might offend somebody. Well, I hate to tell you, but sin offends God. Sin offends God. Not too awful long ago, I was somewhere. I don't remember if it was at a hospital in the elevator. I was somewhere. And somebody was taking God's name in vain when I was stuck in that elevator. Now, if you know anything about an elevator, you don't just stop whenever you want. It wasn't like I could, and I can put up with a little bit, but when people start taking God's name in vain, it crawls under my skin and I can't shut up. Amen. It's there. And I looked at the fellow and I said, "Sir, excuse me, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I would appreciate you not taking my God's name in vain like that." You sucked all the air out of an elevator that quick. There wasn't another word spoken the rest of the trip on the elevator. Amen. But I said something a little while later. How come they'll use God's name as a curse word, but they don't use Muhammad's name? How come they'll use God's name but not Buddha's name? Why is it that only Jehovah God's name is used as a curse word? Everybody doing all right? Come on, it's okay to say amen, folks. Now, wait a minute. It's time for somebody to stand up and do what's right. See, this is a soft, fearful, wimpy generation. I do not picture George Washington, Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson as being as wimpy as we are today. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. You get mad now, you're going to kill somebody in a little while here. I don't picture D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, and J. Frank Norris going down in history for their passiveness. D.L. Moody started what we know as the bus ministry. You say they didn't have buses back in the 1870s. You're right. He took horse-drawn carriages all the way across the Chicago area, picking up boys and girls, mamas and daddies, bringing them to church. Matter of fact, they found Mr. Moody one day. Some kid wasn't going to come. He went into the house, crawled under the bed, and said, "Son, quit hiding from God. Come on, get out of here." Now, that's aggressive, amen. You think we're aggressive? Look out. Good night. J. Frank Norris, they tried burning his house down. with his wife and mother-in-law in there. They accused him of burning his own house down when it was arson. The mob was after him. The politicians were after him. And he preached against booze, and the prohibitionists were against him. And he fought all of that and the Southern Baptist Convention and pulled a church out. And he pastored two churches at the same time, one in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, one in Detroit, Michigan. And they were ranked number one and number two in attendance in the world while he pastored both of them. And there was not an airplane. Say, what was that? He didn't go down in history for being a pussyfooter. By the way, men and people do not go down in history for being pacifists. They go down for standing for what is right. Now, everyone seems to get offended these days. Now, hold on. Let me say this. I've preached in 28 states. I've been an assistant pastor in California, South Carolina, Indiana, and West Virginia. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've been around a lot. I don't have one drop of blood in me that I'm not only physically colorblind, I'm spiritually colorblind. Brother Neil, your soul has no different color than mine has. You know that as well as I do, and I don't give a flip what color somebody's skin is, black, white, green, purple, chartreuse, and I'm not talking about their hair either. All right? But let me say this, it seems like today, unless you're a half man, half woman, a black, white, Latino, Christian polytheist, conservative, liberal, you're offensive. Everybody doing okay? You put all that together, that's what everybody wants you to be today. Well, we got to be all things to all men. No. Let me stop right there and say this. That is communism. That is socialism. Well, we all have to be the same. No, we don't. God did not make you to be a robot. God made you as an individual. Brother Neil, you can give something to God that I cannot. God made you as you are to give God what God wanted out of Neil Branson, just like he made Evan Barnes to give God what Neil Branson could not give. God did not make you for everybody to be the same. God in America gave us equal opportunity. Yes, he did. We have the same rules for everybody. Shame the people that enforce them don't live by them. Amen. See, we've accepted this socialism in America today. We've accepted that everybody should have all of the same things. That's not true. Now, listen to me very carefully. We don't need to all be the same. God did not make us to be robots. He made us to be individuals, and we need to quit coveting what everybody else has. God said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. In wanting to be equal with your neighbor, you are coveting what your neighbor has. Well, it's not fair that somebody has more than I have. Then work as hard as they did doing what they did, and maybe you'll have what they have. Please don't take this the wrong way, but poor people don't hire people. It takes somebody successful to hire people that don't work for themselves. It's amazing to me how the guy that flips burgers at McDonald's knows how to run the McDonald's Corporation. It's amazing that the guy that knows how to push the buttons and take the parts off the end of the machine knows how to run the company. Everybody doing all right? Hang on now. The problem today is not the politicians. The problem today is not abortion, though I am against killing babies. The problem today is not the sodomites. By the way, for those of you that don't understand that term, that is the homosexual movement in the world today. The problem today is not the press, though that's pretty close. The problem today is not the movie or the music industry. The problem today is Christians are too quiet. It is not the loudness of the bad, but the quietness of those that have the truth. How is the wrong supposed to know what the right is if the right doesn't speak up against the wrong? See, the devil has not changed in 6,000 years. Do you know that he is still using the same tactic today that he used in the Garden of Eden with Eve? Let me tell you what that is. If you went to Genesis chapter 3, we won't take time to turn there. But he is following the same plan that he used in Isaiah 14 and Genesis chapter 3. He is trying to get you to be your own God. Eve, look at that tree. The day thou eatest, thou shalt be like God. You can decide good and evil for yourself. You won't need God to tell you what to do. You can be God. Sounds like what he said in Isaiah 14. I will be like God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Ooh. Is all humanism is today. By the way, we've got a bunch of weak-kneed Christians today that are preaching the same doctrine. Well, you can get saved however you want, and then you got the denominationalism. Well, it doesn't matter what name you use for God, it's still all the same God. Folks, Muhammad is not Jehovah God. Big Belly Buddha is not God. I don't care what name you attach, if it's apart from that book right there, it is wrong. By the way, God said, let God be true and every man a liar. And God doesn't lie, just so you know. Now, hang on. Don't get me wrong. The devil's pretty sharp. But the Bible says that he, as a roaring lion, walketh about, watch this, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know he only devours those who let him devour them? It doesn't say who he will devour, but whom he may. Means they have given him permission to destroy them. We are allowing the devil, through our wimpishness in Christianity today, to destroy many, many things. Today, I want to expose the devil's ways. I'm going to show you what the devil does, and that we, as Grace Baptist Church, don't need to give in to the devil. Folks, you do not have to give in to the devil. Well, sometimes living the Christian life is so hard. Living the devil's life is harder. Living the devil's life is much harder. He makes it look better, but it doesn't end better. This morning, I'm going to show you the four times the devil's most likely to attack you. Tonight, I'll show you the four ways to attack him. This morning, I'll show you the four times Satan is most likely to attack you. Now, point number one. By the way, you'll find out I'm not a techno genius. Don't want to be, amen? We don't have the magic screens and follow the bouncing ball and put all these pretty outlines. I don't have pretty outlines. They're handwritten, dirty, my handwriting nobody else can read. You say, why? Because I just believe in preaching it the old-fashioned way. We got too many movie screens out there and not the power of God. So the first time that, just thought I'd throw that in there. First time that the devil's most likely to attack you is when you have a tired mind. When you're tired. Galatians chapter 6, if you want to, I'm going to read it just as soon as I get there. The Bible says in verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Fellas, at 7:30 last, or 7:27, amen, Brother Hawkins, when I pulled on back onto the property last night here at the church, we were weary. We were tired. And let me say something here. When you are physically tired, you're more apt to make mistakes. When you're mentally tired, you're more apt to make mistakes. Did you know when I got home last night, it wasn't time to look at the bills and pay bills? Say why? I probably would have made a mistake because I wasn't thinking real clear. Number one, first thing I had to do is get a shower. You never smelled such a van in your life as that van last night. Man, I was never so glad for air conditioning in my life. Say why? Because it was blowing all the stink to the back. Now, wait a minute. We were tired. When I got home last night, it wasn't time, and I thank God I got home and, you know, the water pipes weren't burst and we didn't have problems all over the house. Say why? I was too tired to deal with too many problems. Say why? Because I don't do that kind of work very often, and it wore me out. I'm fat, old, and out of shape, amen? Amen. But got in there and did it. Shut up, you're fatter and older and outer, well, not older, but out of shape more. Round is a shape, okay? I just don't plan on being round. Oblong's a little better, amen? Now, can I tell you something? Did you know that when you're tired, if you're married, when you're tired, that's when most of your arguments take place? Can I tell you why? You have an unrested mind. When you get tired, you get cranky. I don't know if you do. My wife does not, but I do, all right? But when you get tired, you generally get a little bit more cranky. Do you ever notice teenagers get in more trouble when they're tired? That's why teenagers shouldn't be out late. That's why teenagers shouldn't be up late watching television or being on their computers. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. By the way, that's why adults shouldn't be up late watching television or on the internet. Sleep at night. Shouldn't be up till 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning playing on your computer, playing your little games and watching TV. There is nothing healthy to do at that hour. Unless you're working a job that requires you to be up, get some some wonderful rest. Yeah. Do you ever notice how much crime takes place after the sun goes down? It's almost 5 to 1 the amount of crime that takes place during the nighttime hours. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. I was a Bible college graduate. I had a bachelor's degree. I was getting married in just less than 12 hours. I still had a curfew while I was at my mom and dad's house in transition between college and getting married. I was home for a few days. I still had a curfew. You say, well, you were 22 years old. You had a curfew? My dad said if I was coming home, I did. By the way, I still believe in that. I remember getting home. They had just gone to bed. And the way the bedrooms were set up, there was a bedroom here, washroom here, a bedroom there, and their bedroom was here. Living room came in through this way. I came in. I just went like this, was reaching for the light switch, and I heard, hey. I'm 22 years old. I've got a college degree. I'm getting married the next afternoon. I don't remember if it was morning or afternoon, but my foot never touched the floor. I said, sir, never did get my foot in the door. And I heard my dad chuckle. I said, did you need something? He said, just wanted to make sure you're still listening. I said, yes, sir. You know, my mom and dad had me walk into their room, sat down on the edge of the bed, had one of the sweetest talks we had had up until that point in time in my life. I'm glad, as a college graduate at 22 years old, I still had a curfew. Everybody doing okay? Man, you must have had, your dad must have warped your psyche. He didn't call it a psyche, but he warped it a few times, I'll promise you. Can I tell you something? We allow ourselves to get too tired. By the way, you make mistakes when you get too tired at work. I worked real hard yesterday with our men to make sure everybody wasn't getting too tired. We were just about getting done. I could tell Brother Ed was done. Say why? He was getting tired. I said, Brother Ed, you just stay over there, sit down a while, let us finish this up. I didn't want us to make a mistake and have somebody get hurt. You notice more people get hurt because they get careless because they're tired. You get so used to doing the same thing over and over and over that you get tired of doing it. And if you're not careful, you're going to make a mistake and it's going to hurt somebody. You see, when you have a tired mind, the devil says, I've got you. I've got you. You can't sleep at night, so you get up and turn the stupid TV on. You watch some guy preaching on television. It's got bad doctrine. You say, well, that sounds right. And you're too tired to even know what the Bible says. You'll start believing what some guy on late night television, quote unquote Christian television, says versus what the Word of God says. Don't make major decisions when you're weary. Did you hear that? Don't make major decisions when you're weary. Now, you say, well, I live a tired life. I'll never make another decision. That's not what I'm talking about. But can I tell you something? When you're too tired to make it when you need to make it, come see the preacher and let him help you get some advice and get this thing going. You know, trust somebody who's not too weary, that can see the situation clearly. Follow what they say, even if you don't understand it. I am so glad that in times of weariness, I sought godly counsel. Folks, I went through Bible college in 4 years. I took 18 to 21 hours of class every semester for 4 semesters. I was a Bible club leader. I was a bus captain. I taught D-teen Sunday school, preached in D-church often. I was an assistant to the Bible club director, and I worked 40 hours a week and drove an hour to and from work in a machine shop. I haven't slowed down for over 30 years, just so you know. I still keep a pretty vigorous schedule. But can I tell you something? When it came time to make major spiritual decisions, there was times I was too tired to make them. And I went and got advice. I'd get up early to pray. I'd get home from work at 1 o'clock in the morning, get to bed by about 1:30, and get back up at 5:30 or so each or before every day. I'd get up, be reading my Bible, get on my knees to pray, and 20 minutes later, both of my legs are asleep. I've been kneeling beside my bed, and there's slobber all over the top of my Bible. I'd fallen asleep while I was praying. I began to weep and say, God, you deserve better than that. So instead of kneeling and slobbering, I got up and started walking and praying. And there was times I almost fell down walking and praying because I was so tired. But I kept going. But I knew there were times when I was too tired to make a good decision. And I would go see the preacher or one of the godly men that the preacher had put over me and got advice from them, did what they said, even though I did not understand it. And can I tell you something? I'm glad I obeyed. Let me make a statement here. People tired in the battle don't make good decisions. You got to be careful when you're on the front line fighting that you don't try to make too many decisions. If you were in the military, you know what the first thing they teach you? Two words. Yes, sir. No questions asked. Because when the heat of the battle comes and the confusion of the battlefield comes, and you can only see a small portion of it, you have to understand somebody else sees the big picture. And you've got to be willing to play your role, even though you don't see it succeeding. You've got to be willing to do what you're told to do without hesitation. Can I tell you something? When you're in the heat of the battle of life, sometimes you need somebody to tell you what you do, and you say, yes, sir. Am I doing all right? You see, that means the battle of your finances, the battle of your family, the battle of your job. Doesn't matter what area of life, there's times you just need to say, all right, I'll just do what I'm told. Don't see how this is going to work out, but it's going to work out. I trust somebody. They told me what to do. We're going to get through this, and yes, sir, we'll get through this. It may even look more bleak at first, but may I tell you, if you got good, solid advice, it's going to come out, I promise you. So when we have a tired or an unrested mind, first time. Second of all, the devil is most likely to attack us is when we have an ignorant or an unknowing mind. Now, ignorance is not necessarily a negative word in the light of that you're stupid. Ignorance means you just don't know something. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Can I tell you something? The average Christian is ignorant about the devil. Oh, I would know him if he walked through that door. It'd be the guy with the red suit on with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. You see, the devil loves ignorance because he's smarter than you are. Did you know the devil can outthink you if you're using your mind? Well, my Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And when you borrow the mind of Christ, you can outdo the devil.
That's right.
See, that's why people will believe something called evolution. Evolution is of the devil. It is a man-made, humanist, anti-God philosophy. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Charles Darwin did it because he was a God-hating person and needed a science to back up communism. By the way, that's why every communist country in the world and every God-hating religion of the world accepts evolution. Mark it down. Folks, the whole premise of evolution is everything's getting better and better. Let me ask you a question. Is it getting better and better in your lifetime? Does your body get better and better the older you get? Hello? I'm going to. It's like this farce called global warming. Global warming is man-made scare tactics by communists and humanists and socialists. Oh, we can't use plastic bags. It's going to destroy the world. They don't decompose in the landfills. Folks, let me ask you a question. Where did they get the material for the plastic? Out of the ground. We better be glad it doesn't decompose because that's where we got it to begin with. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We took it out of the ground, refined it, turned it into plastic so that we could use it. We didn't just say, oh, there's a plastic molecule. There we go. Let's grab them out of the sky. You don't harvest plastic from the air. It came from the earth. God put it there for us to use. Now, I'm not for littering. It bothers me to death. I'll drive down beside somebody and they're throwing their trash out their car window and throwing out couches on the side of the road and beds and everything else. People are pigs. There's a place to do those things, but not on the side of the road. I don't think when you're done with your pop bottle that you throw it in the river and it floats down the river. Man's supposed to police himself and not be a pig. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you. I better keep going here. Another ignorance that the devil uses is called denominationalism. Christianity. Did you know that the word Christian is about like the word grass? Do you know how many different types of grass there are? Just like there's that many types of Christianity. Just because it says Christian doesn't mean it's something that's right. A lot of antichrists out there today. A lot of people that'll tell you this is Christianity. I'm going to make a statement here. Hopefully I'll get somebody mad. You know, new Christianity of today it makes God mad. You know, new Christians are exciting because truth is finally starting to make sense to them. They have been steeped out of bad doctrine. They see the truth of the Word of God, and they're like a little baby bird in a nest when mama comes back, and it's like, give me more, give me more, give me more. I love it. I love it. You say, why? Because that truth is feeding them, and the more truth they get, the more they realize somebody else said that they were telling you the truth, but it wasn't the truth. El Papa with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head wasn't telling you the truth. The Bible is the Word of God. You know, the devil has turned himself into a game. Dungeons and Dragons is not something your children should play. It's satanic and it's evil. Ouija boards are of the devil. Vampires are a study in Satanism. I'm going to get in trouble. Wizardry and witchcraft like Harry Potter is of the devil. This thing about ghosts and paranormal and zombies, it is all satanically influenced. I'm talking about Hollywood. Everybody doing okay? Did you know? Did you know that you don't have to study wrong to find out what wrong is? Can I tell you the best way to find out what wrong is? Read and study that book and live that book. You'll find out what wrong is. I'm so glad I went to a college where they didn't teach us what other doctrines were. They just taught us what pure doctrine was. And wrong doctrine always magnifies itself and shows itself. You know, I didn't study Catholic doctrine. I didn't study Buddhist doctrine. I didn't study Islamic doctrines. I didn't study Catholic doctrine at college. I studied the Word of God so that when I meet these yardbirds out there, I know where they're wrong. I didn't study the Mormon doctrine and the Jehovah's False Witness doctrine. Sorry, Jehovah's Witness. I didn't study their doctrines. As I've knocked on hundreds of thousands and probably well over a million doors in my life, meeting these people as I go door to door, they'll say something. I'll say, that ain't in the Bible. This is in the Bible. And I've learned what they believe by talking to them and showing them what the truth is. I didn't study their bad doctrine. Well, what do I need to know to win somebody to Christ of this religion? The same salvation plan that got you saved. Doesn't matter. If they're not willing to believe what God said, they're not going to get saved. Doesn't matter who they are. Everybody doing all right? Number three, I must hurry. This one's going to sting a little when we have an impure mind. See, the devil's most likely to attack when you have a tired mind, when you have an ignorant mind. You don't know Satan's devices. And next, when you have an impure mind, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 15, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Put beside that verse the word Pope. There's a guy that thinks himself to be spiritual and his doctrine is sending people to hell. So I don't think you should name names. Then don't name them, but while I'm preaching, I'll name them. America, in our world, has a filthy mind. Hollywood is the biggest sewer into your brain that you could have. The filth that comes from Hollywood is deplorable. Make a statement here. Back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, they wouldn't even show a married couple together in a bedroom scene. They had to be in separate beds. Now you have people that aren't even married to each other shacking up and having physical relationships on film. Everybody doing all right? Nudity back then was a lady showing her thigh. Now we have X-rated television on regular television. Everybody doing all right? And for some reason, we think if we paint somebody's underwear all kinds of pretty colors and put design on them and put sand and water around them, it's okay, and they call it a swimsuit. And yet, if you walk down the street in your underwear, they're going to arrest you for indecent exposure. What's the difference? Sorry. Truth is truth. I'm talking about our news of the day is filthy and vile. Folks, be careful how much news you listen to. You're gonna cloud your mind. The world media is trying to program you, not inform you. Say, what do you believe about the news? The date? And definitely not the weather. Look at the music of our day. Folks, there are things that the world calls music. And the words that come out of these performers' mouths are so vile, nasty, wicked. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Miley Cyrus would have been in jail 50 years ago. Yes, sir. You take rap music, that is the nastiest stuff that crawled out of this side of the pit of hell. I have never heard such vulgarity in my life. You say, do you listen to it? It's hard not to when it's going down the road. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Every time I hear that, when my children were little, I'd say, cover your ears. I don't even want them hearing the words. Words that should never be uttered in public, just as, well, that's art. No, that's perversion. That's impurity. Eustace, some of you white hairs, used to say, that fellow cusses like a sailor. Now, the average woman in America could make a sailor blush. Folks, the immorality of our day. I'm probably going to get in trouble. But when you live together, it's still shacking up and it's still sin. You're supposed to be married if you're a husband and a wife. Shacking up, still shacking up. It's still wrong. We shouldn't be passing out birth control devices in our schools. We need to teach our children how to be pure. Purity comes, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, by obedience to the Word of God. Did you know if you live that book, you won't be impure? It's that simple. When you start living the pure words of God, I've got to put all my other sermons back in my Bible. Sorry, they all fell out. When you start living the pure Word of God, can I tell you something? You don't have to worry about an impure mind. You see, this world and the devil hates the Bible because it's purity. That's why in the 1960s, Madeleine Murray O'Hare, a God hater, petitioned Congress and got Congress to agree with her that they should not have open Bible reading and public Bible reading in the public schools. Everybody doing all right? It is not illegal to read the Bible in the school. It's illegal for it to be school sponsored. When I went to a public school, I carried that book with me every day to every class, put it on my desk. I had people spit in it. I had teachers try to fail me because of it. I didn't give a rip, and I stood for right because it was the Word of God. They couldn't kick it or me out. Everybody doing all right? You see, the world hates Christianity because it is truth. Socialism, communism, and humanism needs to take absolutes out. That's why you have new math. If 2 + 2 = 5, and you can show on paper how you got it, the teacher must accept it. Folks, 2 + 2 is never equaled 5 or 3 or 6. It's always 4. I don't care what mistake you make over and over and over again. We don't accept it. You're wrong. Well, we might offend little Junior. Offend him and teach him what's right. That's why in sports nowadays, the little leagues don't even keep score. Because somebody might cry if they lose, so they'll all be winners. No wonder we have such a wimpy society today. Every boy in the world needs to be up in the bottom of the last inning, 3 balls, 2 strikes, bases loaded, and you're down by 1 run, and strike out and lose the game for your team. You need to find out that agony of defeat before you get the pain or the thrill of victory, amen? The wide world of sports. Watching that guy come down that snow slope and wipe out at the bottom and say, what did that do? That taught me never go skiing, amen? Modern religion is impure. They're trying to use the devil and the world's methods in the church. And let me tell you, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like God. We're not supposed to dress like the world, have the world's music. We're not supposed to be wishy-washy like the world. We're not supposed to have the sodomites and the women as pastors. It's supposed to be a man of God, not a woman of God. Now, women have their place. I lift them up. Thank God for ladies. This would be a nasty world without women. And there is a place in the church for ladies to serve, but it's not behind this pulpit preaching every day as a pastor. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. We got a bunch of pacifists in a pulpit today. Let me explain that to you in West Virginia redneck terms. We've got a bunch of preachers with lace on their underwear in the pulpit. Got a bunch of panty waists in the pulpit today, afraid to get up and offend somebody. Well, we just got to love everybody. Folks, I love everybody, but I hate sin. God says these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And there needs to be a little hate for sin. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. Number four, and I'm done, and I will hurry. But the last time the devil's most likely to attack is when you have an unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Uh-oh. Faith. Faith. Man, I'm going to make a statement here. Very powerful statement. If you missed everything, get this. Man is not capable of telling God under what terms God must accept man. It is man's responsibility to accept what God said under his terms, not your terms. Everybody doing all right? Man is sinful, and you're not capable of telling a sinless God under what terms he must accept you. As the sinner, you're to say, "I'll do what you said. I don't understand it, but by faith, I'll accept it." Man's obligation is to get God to do it his way, not God to get it to do your way. We have too much religion out there that wants to do it man's way, not God's way. I don't care what church teaches that if they sprinkle water on your head, that you're going to heaven. Baptism doesn't save anybody, by the way. That's not baptism. The word baptized means to immerse. You don't get immersed unless you're an ant. Go to a Methodist church, I drink their baptistry, amen? Listen to that. You a deep water Baptist? Yep, all the way under. All the way under, because that's what baptism is. Death, burial, and resurrection. When you die, they don't sprinkle dirt in your face. They put you under so you don't stink. Amen? Some of the guys in that van last night smelled like they were dead. You see, pastor contacted me this week, and he was doing a little damage control, and a denominational pastor, I won't say who it was, confronted him, and he was so mad he called me, not the denominational guy, the right kind of guy. He said, "Brother Bush, I'm about to blow a gasket." Guy taught salvation is by speaking in tongues and different things. And I said, "Well, the problem is he only believes in Acts chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and those are the only two verses he believes in. And not only that, he doesn't even believe those right." He said, "I know." He said, "If you believe in the Trinity, you believe in three different gods." I said, "According to the Bible, he is an antichrist and a fool. Don't waste your time." So you don't do battle with them? The guy called this guy up and said, "Look, let's meet, let's debate over this." I said, "Doc, do me a favor." I said, "Instead of debating him, grab somebody in your church and go soul winning during that time instead of debating. Go get somebody saved and out of hell. You're not going to change him. He's steeped in his bad doctrine." Everybody doing all right? See, he only believes what he wants to believe. And he said this to this Baptist preacher. He said, "This is the way that I see Scripture, and this is how I'll teach my people to do it." Well, who are you to tell God? I don't care if you got a hat on your head, a white collar, a robe on your shoulders, whether you call yourself a man of God, it's not your terms, it's God's terms. Folks, you have to realize you're a sinner, and because you're a sinner, there is a penalty on sin. Same penalty on man's sin that was on the devil's sin in Isaiah 14, Lucifer in heaven, death and hell. That was decided before man was ever created. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Man chooses to go there by their sin. God would not be just to send Satan and his followers to hell and not man that did the same sin. God's justice requires that. But may I say this? God sent Jesus Christ to pay for your sin. He didn't come to die for Lucifer. He didn't come to die for the fallen angels. He came to die for man. God loved you enough to pay your sin debt for you. He came, lived a sinless life, shed his blood on the cross, died 3 days and 3 nights later, got up out of the grave, conquered death, put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and that was your price. Well, I got to join the church to get it. No, you don't. You can join every church in town, still die and go to hell. Well, I got to get baptized to get it. I can take my ring off and still be married. That ring lets everybody know I'm married. That's exactly what baptism is. It doesn't get anybody saved. It just lets everybody else know you got saved. Well, you got to take the Lord's Supper as a sacrament. Folks, it's cannibalism to believe that turns into the body of Jesus. That it actually turns into the blood. Everybody doing all right? So what must I do? It's very simple. You realize you're a sinner. Realize there's a penalty on sin. Realize that because you're a sinner, you deserve hell, and that Jesus paid the price for you. My Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You must realize you're not good enough to get it on your own. You go through life trusting your good works, trusting your baptism, trusting money you've given to people and helping people out. And those are all good things to do, but let me tell you, you'll die and go to hell because that's where you're headed. But the moment you are confronted with the truth, the moment you say, God, I've tried it my way, it's not good enough, and by whatever faith you put in here, I'll accept what you did to take me to heaven, hot dog, immediately you're headed towards heaven. And at that moment, the Bible says you were born again. When you, if you are a married couple and you've had a child, the moment the woman conceived seed, life began. Some of you ladies have lost children in the womb. Those are real children and they'll be in heaven someday. See, once life is started, guess what? Even though you die, your life keeps going. And when you get saved, God takes the blood of Jesus Christ that has the genetics of God, and he regenes you. That's what the word regenerate means. He regeneticizes you, and you get a spirit that cannot ever die. It's as eternal as God. By the way, that act of going from trusting yourself to trusting what Jesus did is the very act of what the world would call repentance. It's not saying I'm sorry for my sin. How sorry do you have to be to repent? Everybody doing all right? Sorry enough to go quit trusting yourself and trust Jesus, hot dog, your guest got saved. You can't separate salvation and repentance. It's all the same thing. Boy, that's a good statement. It's not an experience. The lights aren't going to flash. You're not going to lay on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water and saying, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. You're not going to start jibber-jabbering in some unknown language. I hate to tell you, when my wife conceived seed 3 times with our children, the lights didn't flash and she didn't lay on the floor and flip and flop like it. Now, we jumped and danced around after found out that she was pregnant. A couple times I wish you wouldn't. No, I'm teasing, because the last one leaves next Monday. But I'm excited as can. We were excited about new life. Can I tell you something? This church will be excited about new life, getting saved. And every time a sinner bows their head and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, God is happy. He becomes your father. By the way, when you have a father, you're supposed to obey him. Supposed to do what they say. Supposed to honor them with your life. Wow. Can I tell you something? The devil wants to destroy you. He's going to come when you're tired. He's going to come when you just don't understand. He's going to come when you're having impure thoughts or an impure life, and he's going to come when you don't really want to believe. I promise you. Seeking whom he may devour. That's why you need to get in church and lock yourself in, and get in this book and lock yourself in. Get under hard preaching and lock yourself in, so that the devil does not destroy you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." You know that, and you know that for sure. I'll not embarrass you. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Your hands may go down. Who would say, "Preacher, I wished I could have. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not call your name." But who would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Someone else? All right. Who would say, "Preacher, man, I've been letting the devil get at me, and today I found out why. There's some areas of my life I need to shore up." Maybe it is you need to get baptized or join the church, or maybe it is you need to get in your Bible, or maybe it is you just need to rework your schedule and focus a little better. But boy, there was something in that sermon today, "Preacher, I needed that." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hand, you ought to come to this altar. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'll have somebody take a Bible and show you in just a matter of 2 minutes how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. It's that simple. This church is a getting saved place. Maybe it is you need to obey God in a certain area. Maybe you've been saved and you've been baptized. You'd like to join our church. Why don't you come today? There'll be ladies here to take your name, and we'd be glad to have you into our church. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and bow your knee to a holy God and say, "I'm not letting the devil win. I'm not going to be a wimpy Christian the rest of my life. I'm going to get a little tougher in my Christian life."